Like Joey Votto in his hometown of Toronto, we hope to hit a home run with this evening's edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries, accepting walk-ins, or you can go online to schedule your next appointment at orthosensi.com. Remember, that's orthosensi.com. I am your host, Double T Travis, there, and we do have a packed show for you this evening. I didn't expect to be talking so much about high school basketball this time of the year. It is May. If you didn't check the calendar today, we're still several months away from the basketball season, but lots of news in high school basketball. We're also going to talk a lot of track and field as sectional play happened last week. We have plenty of regional qualifiers moving on. Going to talk about the girls tennis sectional, and we got much more after that as well. As we're going to talk a couple things South Dearborn related, and then I want to talk a little golf to end the show. So let's jump right into this and get down to the nitty gritty. Like I said, plenty to get to. High school basketball coaching carousel absolutely heating up. Milan and South Ripley have new boys varsity head coaches, and Batesville has announced a new girls varsity head coach. Want to start with the Milan Indians, as Matt Pickerill has taking the job at Milan. He's going to replace longtime Milan head coach Randy Combs, who's stepping away due to personal reasons. Randy Combs, of course, coaching 18 seasons at Milan. Two different stints there, as Coach Combs did lead the Indians to 166 wins over those 18 seasons. Three sectional titles in 99, 2001, and 2003, and actually won two regional championships, that being in 99 and 01. Now, recently, Milan had a really great string of success, led by Peyton Wirt, Carson Asherman, Adam Norman, Josh Clark, among others. This senior class was a really, really good, played well together, obviously, for multiple seasons, as Milan went 40-32 between 2019 and 2021. But when that senior class graduated, they were left with a lot of inexperience last year as a team, and they go 2-19, that inexperience, showing at times throughout last season. So Matt Pickerill will come to Milan with one season of head coaching experience. He was at South Putnam last year. They went 5-19. He also has experience as an assistant coach from his time at Eastern Pekin. That's also where he played his high school ball. So he's been around the game for a long, long time, has plenty of experience as an assistant and as a head coach, obviously just the 1 year as a head coach, but coming to Milan, a school that has a rich basketball tradition. They do have some talent on that team from last year, despite the poor record. They certainly have some kids coming back that now have some experience, and of course they're going to have a new system and style of play to learn this offseason, and maybe that will benefit some of these kids that are coming back. But I got a chance to talk to the new head coach at Milan last week, and he talked a little bit about his excitement level taking the job, some of the expectations, goals, playing style, things of that nature. Part of our conversation, here is Coach Pickerill talking about his new job and team at Milan.
You know, a lot of people, even from different parts of the state, if they don't know exactly where Milan is, they know the story of Milan and the championship in 54 and everything that obviously goes along with that. So to be a part of that is huge. People all over the country and all over the world, you know, kind of know that story. And so just to be a part of that history and that community now is something I'm really excited about, and obviously excited to learn more about it. And but I think a big part for us is the kids that are there now, you know, it's important for them to know the history of it, but also we want to start a new history there ourselves, and we want to establish something ourselves and make sure we're not just looking in the past, but also looking at, you know, what we're building here and what our goals are and what we want to accomplish. No matter what it is you want to do, you always have to tailor that to the players that you have and the talent that you have on your roster. But just to start with, we really just want to lock in on defense. We got to be focused on that side of the ball to start with. And if we can get them to play defense as a team, then that's obviously going to help our offense out. You know, just getting stops, getting turnovers, and being able to go and get some easy points the other way. And we just want to try to get in there and establish a little bit of pace to the game. And that's going to be something that takes time, and the kids are going to have to learn, you know, our options and our transition, and, you know, just get used to playing offense at a little bit faster pace. But I think that's a good place to start. Showing up every day and working hard, being the hardest worker in the gym, just finding the way to get just a little bit better every single day. And if you can just commit yourself to that process, then you're going to get better as a player, and your team's going to get better because of the effort you're putting in. If you're challenging people and holding them accountable, then that's just going to take us a long way.
Certainly appreciate the time that Coach Pickerel gave me last week, filling me in about him taking the job at Milan. Certainly look forward to seeing how his team is going to play later on this year, as we will certainly be covering some Milan games during our broadcast schedule. I also want to talk about South Ripley and their boys basketball program at this time. Sebby Beach is going to be the new head man there, replacing Tyler Teasing, who has accepted a teaching position at his alma mater, East Central. Teasing is expected to help Coach Disbrow with the boys basketball program, and he did a great job at South Ripley. Certainly had a lot of talent over the 4 years he was there. 58-36 record overall. They went 21-2 back in 2020-21, and it's unfortunate that team didn't win the sectional that year, led by Cody Samples. The Pete's kid was really good as well, among others. That was a team that looked like they were destined for a deep tournament run, but were knocked off in the sectional, but nonetheless, still a really, really great season and a great four-year stretch for South Ripley. Won a lot of games. Coach Beach coming to South Ripley following a five-year stint at Centerville, where his teams went 43-72. I did get a chance to exchange some emails with Coach Beach last week, and he and his family very excited to be a part of the South Ripley community. He told me about how he knows South Ripley has a rich history of success, high expectations. They plan to continue that and develop that moving forward. But I want to read a quote from Coach Beach, and here we go. "We will continue to put a strong emphasis on developing the strong feeder system that has been put in place. We strongly believe in having a feeder system in place to help develop the student athletes within the basketball program. We will expect to compete for county, conference, and sectional titles as well. There's already strong community support, so we will use that in every way we can to help these kids have a successful experience. We will hopefully see the success on the court, but just as importantly, we want to teach the kids lessons they will be able to use the rest of their lives," end quote from Coach Beach. So that's a great quote to hear. He obviously wants to have some success on the court, winning conference and sectional titles, county championships, as well as the Ripley County Tournament is usually a big one for those four schools that do compete there. Obviously, teaching the lessons and making sure those student athletes leave South Ripley with some things that they can carry on with them to college or trade school or into the workforce, whatever it may be, after high school. That's very, very valuable as well. So again, just like Milan, excited to see the direction of South Ripley under a new head coach, and it's certainly going to be fun when Milan and South Ripley get together for the first time in the ORVC this coming season. That might be a game we need to get on our broadcast schedule. I'll have to talk to the guy that makes that schedule and see if we can get that done. Also wanted to talk about Batesville and their new girls varsity basketball head coach, which is Mitchell Taylor. That should be a familiar name to some or most in Batesville. He is going to replace Brian Helvey, who has headed up the program for the last three seasons. It's been a tough stretch for Batesville girls basketball. They do have a very rich tradition, just have kind of fallen on some hard times in terms of wins and losses here as of late, 21-49 over the last 3 years. But for Mitchell Taylor, Batesville High School graduate, he moved to Batesville in the sixth grade, eventually played varsity basketball under the current boys varsity coach Aaron Garrett. And for Taylor, he got his start in coaching in 2017 at Brownstown, coached at the middle school and freshman level, and then moved back to Batesville last fall, 2021, and joined the girls basketball coaching staff as the JV coach. Again, just like I did with Coach Beach from South Ripley, I'm going to read you a quote from Coach Taylor. "My goals are simple. I want to teach the game of basketball in a positive way, make the people of Batesville excited about our girls basketball program, and get the program on the right track. When I was very young, the Batesville girls basketball team was competing for a sectional title year in and year out. I want to get the girls program back to where it was and continue the story success it had, dating all the way back to the 1980s with the Lamping sisters. I'm looking forward to getting started." And as I mentioned, that rich tradition, rich history with Batesville girls basketball. Coach Taylor hoping to get them back to prominence where they are competing for a sectional title year in and year out. And in that particular sectional that they are in right now, teams such as Rushville and Greensburg have kind of had a stronghold on that sectional. Lawrenceburg has certainly been in the mix in the last few years. South Dearborn, that team continues to get better and better each year after they had their own struggles. So it's a fascinating sectional with all the EIAC teams there. And if Batesville can get back to being a really strong team, not only makes the conference much more interesting, but will also make that sectional a lot more fun with just another team that is a legit contender. So Coach Taylor, that is one of his main objectives, is to get Batesville back to winning championships. So the coaching carousel has certainly heated up here in Eagle Country. Like I said, didn't expect to be talking so much high school basketball here in the month of May, but that is exactly where we are. We have more basketball news to share with you right now. You may or may not have already seen this over at EagleCountryOnline.com, but four area high school basketball stars invited to showcase their skills against some of the best players in the state. The 20th IBCA IHSAA Top 100 Underclass Showcase going to take place next month, Friday, June 17th, and Saturday, June 18th at Brownsburg High School. And there's going to be three young ladies from the area that will be featured during the Girls Showcase. Two from East Central, both soon-to-be seniors, Josie Trable and Lainey Baker, invited to this showcase. I think Josie Trable, everyone is pretty well aware of her capabilities on the basketball floor at this point, as she's already the all-time leading scorer in program history. She was an IBCA underclass All-State Supreme 15 selection as a junior, averaged almost 18 points per game, 7 rebounds, almost 3 assists, and 2.5 steals per game, leading the Lady Trojans, or helped lead the Lady Trojans to their third consecutive sectional championship. And for Lainey Baker, she had a breakout season this past year, scoring 9.8 points per game. She was the third best scorer for the Trojans behind Hope Fox and Josie Trable, and she is going to play a key role in the success of the Lady Trojans coming up this winter. Julia Tiemann is back as well. Caitlin Dick certainly had a breakout season last year. Those are the big four names that you're going to hear a lot with this East Central team, and obviously they are going to reload at some other positions as well, but they are certainly primed to have another run in the EIAC and in the sectional, and these two young ladies going to get a chance to play in front of some watchful eyes, and that means coaches from colleges across the state and the nation are going to get a chance to see these young ladies play in this showcase, and you know, that may draw some interest for some scholarship opportunities and so forth and so on. Also wanted to mention that Greensburg's Leah West also invited to the showcase, just a freshman last year, averaged a near double-double, around 13 points per game and 8.5 rebounds. So expect her to be a force as a sophomore, junior, and senior. And then speaking of another freshman in the area that kind of burst onto the scene, it was Switzerland County's Cam Craig, the only boy in the area that was invited to this top 100 underclass showcase. And what a freshman season it was for Cam. 19 points per game, 8 rebounds, and a little over an assist per game, as he was the second leading scorer in the ORVC. And he is primed to have a big-time high school career. Averaging near 20 points per game as a freshman, that already puts him in line to start the countdown to him being the all-time leading scorer at Switzerland County. I believe that is a feat that he could accomplish by the time he's maybe halfway through his junior season, similar to what Josie Trable did at East Central. So congratulations to these four student athletes from the area that are going to get a chance to go and play against some really top competition and in front of college coaches. And for the boys' side of thing, they're actually going to be allowed to have Division I programs attend in person, because this showcase is going to be held during the NCAA's scholastic viewing period. So maybe even more on the line for the boys at this showcase, but we certainly wish all four of those student athletes nothing but the best, and hopefully they perform well at this particular showcase on June 17th and 18th. It is open to the public, $5 each day. We got more information for you over at EagleCountryOnline.com. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba, located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need close to home. OrthoSensi.com. It is that time of the show to switch our focus to the IHSAA Girls and Boys Track and Field Sectional Recap. Want to start on the girls' side of things as they went first last week on Tuesday, sectional 24 at East Central, and it was the Lady Trojans coming away as the team champion, 186 points as they finished first. Batesville at 108.5 and Lawrenceburg with 79 points, rounding out the top three as there were 13 teams at this particular sectional. And the breakdown, East Central sending 12 to the regional, Batesville with 8, Lawrenceburg with 7, South Ripley and Greensburg with 4, and Jacksonville with 2. Want to run down the winners from all of the events at the girls sectional. Anna Graff, the 100 meter dash champion from East Central. In the 200 meter dash, Lucy Thornton, the winner from Lawrenceburg. Morgan Manford, another Lawrenceburg track and field star, won the 400 meter dash. Back to East Central winners here. Rachel Campbell first in the 800 meter. Annabelle McDonald wins the 1600 meter. Emma Hartley, the winner in the 3200 meter run. And the 100 meter hurdles, that went to Elizabeth Mitchell of Greensburg, actually broke a sectional record in the hurdles, 15.05 seconds. The previous record was held by North Decatur's Kendra Fossbender at 15.3 seconds back in 2007. So big congratulations to Elizabeth Mitchell for a record-setting performance at the sectional. Jacksonville's Chloe Simon, the winner in the 300-meter hurdles. East Central's 4x100-meter relay team, their 4x400 and 4x800 teams all placing first. Ellie Hill, a winner in the high jump and the long jump. Emma Wilhelm wins the pole vault, while Jill Wilhelm wins the discus, and Emery Jackson from Greensburg winning the shot put. If my math is correct, East Central student athletes, track and field stars, they won every event at the sectional except for five events, actually. Let's see. The shot put would be one, the 300-meter hurdles two, the 200 and 400 meter dash, and the 100 meter hurdle. So every event except for five went to an East Central Lady Trojan, an absolute awesome performance on their home track. And we'll see if many of these young ladies can advance through the regional scheduled for tomorrow, May 24th at Franklin Community. Good luck to all of the regional qualifiers. All right, let's move on to the boys' track and field sectional recap. Sectional 24 at East Central, all the same teams, 13 teams there. It was Batesville that was the team champ this time, 120.5 points in first place. Lawrenceburg with 91 in second. East Central rounds out the top three with 89 points. Regional qualifier breakdown, EC leading the way with 10, South Dearborn with 9, Lawrenceburg and Batesville with 8, Franklin County with 7, Milan with 3, Rising Sun 2, and South Ripley and Jacksonville with 1. Some of those individual and team winners, first place in the 4x800 relay, Batesville moving on there. The 110-meter hurdles, that went to Lawrenceburg's Luke Thornton, and the 100-meter dash, Matthew Stewart, winner from Greensburg. 1600-meter run, first place went to Benjamin Moster. The 4x100-meter relay, first place for Lawrenceburg. 400-meter dash, Ben Reilly from Milan, the winner there. His teammate Mason Green winning in the 200-meter hurdles. Benjamin Moster, again, the 800-meter winner. Braden Combs from Lawrenceburg took home first in the 200-meter dash. The 3,200-meter run, Jake Chapman from Batesville finishes first there. East Central's 4x400-meter relay team, the winner over Franklin County and Lawrenceburg. In the long jump, Franklin County's Jacob Schatzel. The high jump, Franklin County's Chad Cox. Pole vault champion, Riley Smith from East Central. And then in the discus and shot put, no surprise here, Leo Maxwell, the EC star, a winner there in both of those events as he set new personal records in both of those events. Actually, his goal was to reset both of his sectional records. He broke his school record, sectional record, and stadium record with his throw in the shot put over 61 feet, absolutely getting it done. Again, I believe Leo Maxwell is going to have a really strong shot at getting to the state finals, and we'll see how it goes from there. But these regional qualifiers for all of these area teams will be back in action on Thursday at Greenfield Central as they look to keep their track and field season alive. So good luck to the boys' track and field regional qualifiers in the area. This is Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries, orthosensi.com. All right, let's switch our focus to girls tennis. A couple of sectionals to recap as Oldenburg Academy back on top as they win the six-team sectional at East Central. The Twisters drew a bye to the semifinals. That's where they knocked off EC 5-0 on Friday. They'd go on to defeat Lawrenceburg, the defending champs, 4-1 in the finals on Saturday. I also want to say congratulations to Franklin County's girls tennis team. They won sectional 13, four teams there, defeating Connersville and Rushville 4-1 and 3-2 respectively. So there is a chance that Oldenburg and Franklin County could meet up in the regional title match, as Oldenburg's going to play Centerville in the regional semifinal. Franklin County draws Newcastle both matches on Tuesday. The winners of each match would play for the regional title on Wednesday. So good luck to Oldenburg and Franklin County, both chasing a regional championship and might have to go through one another to get it. Now I want to get to a couple stories out of South Dearborn High School. This first one is one I've talked about on air during Drive Time with Double T. And I want to start with the same opening sentence I put in the story over at EagleCountryOnline.com. Mr. Cub Ernie Banks once said, and I quote, "The only way to prove you are a good sport is to lose," end quote. And I know, nobody wants to lose. You want to win every single game. The harsh reality is that doesn't happen very often. So the South Dearborn High School baseball team, they've not lost often this year as they were going into a matchup with Batesville last Monday, trying to basically prevent Batesville from winning the EIAC championship outright. East Central still had a shot at sharing the title, but South Dearborn loses a very close, hard-fought game, 3-2 over Batesville. So Batesville gets to celebrate an EIAC championship. And the Knights, well, they handled that loss with amazing grace as they were awarded an exemplary sportsmanship award from the IHSAA last Thursday. And the home plate umpire of that game provided some insight into why South Dearborn won this sportsmanship award. And I'm just going to read a short quote here. I'm not going to read the full quote. You can see that on our website, but here we go. Quote right here from the home plate umpire: "The South Dearborn coaching staff and players should be complimented on their performance, attitude, and perseverance. Not all calls went their way. They lost a tough, hard-fought game, and as an official, I have never heard so many yes and no sirs, thank yous, and polite kids," close quote, as that was just a little excerpt from that home plate umpire explaining the great sportsmanship of the South Dearborn baseball team. And the seniors on the team, Drew Propes, Sean Somer, Corbin McHenry, Reese Willoughby, accepted the sportsmanship award on behalf of their entire team, like I said, last Thursday. And I don't want to get too personal here, but I can admit when I was young, I was a sore loser, and I still carried that a little bit when I was in high school. And I wish that I would have handled myself like these kids did in this instance. I get an opportunity to go out and broadcast a lot of high school basketball and football games, and I get to see some of this great sportsmanship on pretty much a weekly basis. Just amazes me how mature these kids are nowadays. I didn't necessarily have that when I was in high school. So I think this is really cool. Like I said, nobody wants to lose. You want to win every single game that you play. It's not likely for a lot of teams. It's not easy to go perfect and win every game every year. So you got to learn how to lose. You also have to learn how to be a gracious winner as well. And I think South Dearborn has done that on both sides this year as they've won a lot of games, but have certainly handled themselves well in situations like this where they lose a tough one to Batesville. But they are going to have an opportunity to play this Batesville team again, and the stakes are going to be much, much higher this next time around as they will square off in the first round of sectional play. So we will get a little bit further into that once we get closer to the sectional starting up. But I did want to commend one more time the South Dearborn baseball team for their exemplary sportsmanship. If you want to see more on that story, head on over to EagleCountryOnline.com. And while you're on our website, you'll also be able to find information about the 2022 Athletic Hall of Fame inductees at South Dearborn High School. There will be four that will be enshrined on Friday, June 10th at the South Dearborn High School Auditorium. Bill Kennett, Lonnie Eaglin, George Gardner, and Mackenzie Wheat, the four inductees this time around. Bill Kennett, multi-sport athlete at the former Aurora High School, participated in football, basketball, baseball, and track. You got Lonnie Eaglin, 1971 graduate. Kennett graduated in 61, by the way. But Lonnie, 13 varsity letter recipient at then Moores Hill High School, participating in basketball, cross country, baseball, and track. George Gardner, an 81 graduate of South Dearborn, spent 32 years as the head wrestling coach, and during that time, his teams won 9 sectional championships, 6 regional titles, and 12 conference championships. Sent many wrestlers to the state finals, had many sectional champs, regional champs, semi-state winners as well. Unfortunately, Coach Gardner passed away earlier this year, but great recognition for his amazing career as a head wrestling coach, and obviously going to be great as a family gets to be part of that recognition coming up with this induction ceremony. And then Mackenzie Wheat, 2013 graduate, 4-year letter recipient in track and field and volleyball, and she had 31 invitational championships. Current shot put and discus record holder, tied for second most individual sectional championships in school history. So a big time athlete, went on to go to a Bowling Green State University, where she earned 8 varsity letters there and was a 3-time NCAA regional qualifier. Again, 2013 graduate Mackenzie Wheat rounding out the induction class of 2022 for the Athletic Hall of Fame at South Dearborn. Again, that ceremony Friday, June 10th, starting at 6:30. Doors will open at 5:30, and all are invited and welcome to attend. Again, that's in the South Dearborn High School auditorium. And we have the info for you over at EagleCountryOnline.com. One last thing I wanted to get to before I sign off this evening is the Yes Home Golf Tournament coming up on Monday, June 6th at Sugar Ridge Golf Course in Lawrenceburg. Still is time to register a team, sponsor the golf tournament, or donate a gift basket, and all proceeds going to benefit the Yes Home in Aurora. They go a long way to supporting children in the area that have nowhere to go and nowhere to turn to, so this is a big fundraiser for them, and one that I'm going to be happy to be a part of on Monday, June 6th. So I hope you will join me in being a participant in the Yes Home's 7th annual golf tournament, again at Sugar Ridge in Lawrenceburg. Going to be a good time. And as always, all this information can be found at EagleCountryOnline.com. Certainly appreciate you tuning in to Crunch Time each and every Monday. Thanks again to our awesome sponsor, OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. All the info you need on their services, OrthoSensi.com. It's a packed show tonight. I know we got through a lot of information. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I always have fun. One of my favorite parts of the week, being with you right here on Crunch Time on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3.